Father, we stand before you in awe of who you are. All the great things that you have done in our life, as you bring us through from valley to mountaintops and from mountaintops to valleys. But your love never changes. Your purpose never changes. Your rescue never changes. You're always there to rescue. You're always there to deliver. You're always there to heal. And you're always there. No matter what need we may have, you are there. Lord, we want to say thank you for the truth. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the angels. Thank you for your name, your word, and your blood. Thank you for the stripes that we can be healed. Thank you for the tools and the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you for all the wonderful things that heaven has come into this realm through your people. Thank you. We ask right now, Master, for forgiveness of every area that we've done that's offended you, of thoughts, of words, or deeds. Things we've agreed with, unfulfilled vows, things we said we were going to do and didn't do, pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. Lord, we repent of every area of emotional attachments that we've allowed to be attached to us, and idols in our life, Lord, including ourselves. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, please. We ask for your strength and your power and your anointing, that we don't do those things that displease you, but only those things that please you. Wash us with the blood tonight. Purge us with your presence. Fill us with your Spirit. And anoint us with boldness, with fire, with revelation. Anoint us that we may be about your business in true spirit and in power. As we welcome Holy Spirit to bring us to another level so we can kick more devil. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Welcome to 2010. You made it to 2010. Hallelujah. Before we get going, we know that we're on the road to Zion, aren't we? There is a road to Zion that we're on. We know that the wave is flowing. We're in the wilderness, but the wave is still flowing. God provides for his children, doesn't he? And two events that will happen in the wilderness is the rapture and the wrath of God. So you want to make sure you get the rapture so you don't go through the wrath. Time is running out, and there's necessities and urgencies that need to be established. But God establishes them through his people. Through his people. And in 2010, I want to share a couple things about 2010 before we get going. And one of the things about 2010, 10 is a specific meaning. And there are multiple meanings of 10, and I'm only want to share a couple. It's a representation that signifies the perfection of divine order. It signifies the perfection of divine order. And in this, you're going to see a lot of things begin to happen where there is a lot more divine order. Go to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. And we know that the Lord appeared to Moses first through a burning bush. It was a signal. It's like dropping popcorn, you know. And then the Lord told Moses to come and take a vacation with him for 40 days. And it is significant because in verse 28 it says, "And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and he neither ate bread nor drank water." Moses was not really doing a fast. He was only there for a few minutes. Does everybody understand that? It was 40 days and 40 nights according to the natural realm, but Moses just stepped into eternity with the Lord. That's why the Lord told him to take off his shoes, for you are on holy ground. He just stepped into a whole other realm which he just heard God speak to him a few things. But in the natural realm, it was 40 days and 40 nights. But for Moses, it was 5 minutes. And he neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the what? 10 commandments. What were the commandments in representation? The perfection of law or divine order. Number 10. One of the things that the Lord expressed to Moses when Moses was spent time with him, he said, "Who do I say sent me?" And the Lord said, "I am. I am that I am that I am. I am." So I want you to look at the correlation between the 40 days, the I am, and the 10 commandments. Has everybody got it? The 40 days, the I am, and the 10 commandments. Now, go to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. In verse 17, Jesus said, I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. He came to fulfill the law. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So understand that what he was saying, he says, I'm not coming to destroy the law, I'm coming to fulfill it. And the only way Jesus could fulfill the law is to actually destroy the law. And he was going to destroy it by dying on the cross, because he was the Word who became flesh. Jesus was actually the law. Has everybody got it? Okay. So he came to what? Fulfill the law. So the only way he can fulfill the law is actually die on the cross and fulfill. Because he was cutting everything loose of old and bringing everything into a new and into a new covenant. Now go to Acts chapter 1. Acts 1, start in verse 1. In the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by infallible proofs, being seen by them during what? 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now I want you to correlate this again, where Jesus, remember, God chose Moses, right? He said to him, "I am." Moses spent 40 days and received the law, right? The 10 commandments. Jesus comes and dies on the cross in fulfilling the law, rises from the dead and hangs out how many days? 40 days. How many days did Moses spend with the Lord? 40 days. Now the Lord spent 40 days with his people. Y'all got this? Okay. And after 40 days, he ascended. How many days after did he send his spirit? 10 days after he sends his spirit. And all of this in fulfilling in the area of the perfection of divine order. Does everybody see this? It is the perfection of divine order. Remember, the Lord was with, Moses was with the Lord 40 days, the I am, got the 10 commandments. Jesus paid the price in fulfillment of the law, was on the earth 40 days. 10 days later, he filled his people. And the word, fulfilling the word that says, and I will put my a new spirit in you, and I will put my laws in you. Does everybody got it? Now, then he goes on the rest of, and when he was here on the earth, he expressed himself as the I am. The same thing that you saw in the Old Testament was now being fulfilled in the new covenant, where Jesus was being expressed and manifested in the natural realm to bring the significance of the perfection of divine order in who he is. And in this, we know that Jesus came and he said, I am he who was and who is to come. In other words, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. There are 10 areas where he says, I am, that I believe are very significant. And that's one of them. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the one that bore witness of myself. I am the door to the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of life. I am the way, truth, and life. I am the true vine. And I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The I am who walked on this earth is the same I am that Moses walked into and lost 40 days in 5 minutes. Does everybody see this? Okay. Praise God. Now, in this, we know that on the road to Zion, it is almost similar in the area that how Moses led his people out. It's the same area where Jesus was leading his people. And the area where now his spirit is leading us. And before we go any further, I want to give you a word for 2010 and what the Spirit gave to me. Is everybody okay? Are you ready? In 2010, the Spirit said to me, there would be more piercing of darkness. The body of Christ would be piercing darkness. There would be rolls of thunders, more and more thunder. In other words, there would be increase of wave movement. He said that there would be blackouts, many blackouts. There will be the arena of utilities and spiritual blackouts. He said it will be associated with the physical and the spiritual. There'll be blackouts. It will be a time to reflect, refresh, and relearn. There'll be a time to reflect, refresh, and relearn. Ignorance will increase. Ignorance will increase, and knowledge will be forsaken. Russia will step up to the plate. And it will be the calm before the storm. Outwardly, all of this will seem calm, but yet inwardly, there's a storm brewing. But the raging wolf will put up its head, who he's calling Russia. He will put up his head occasionally, but it will be ignored by the world. But he would be reckoned by the wise. The wise will see his head. Division will increase. Pride will agree with the hidden beast to form its army ready to advance. The shield of faith, the wall of fire, and the blood to escape will be the favor of the favored. The treasures of the wicked will decrease as a favored wise will increase. Explosions in the arena where the river people, those who are drink of the Spirit, where the cave people, those who have been hidden in the cave will begin to come out. They're coming out and they're going to cause trouble to the world. Just like the two witnesses who will cause trouble. Because boldness will be released. Your light will shine even stronger. It'll be a time of Gideon's army and David's army will join together to form the army of Elijah. Characters of Joseph will arise to provide as the waves of worldly despair begin to hit the shores. I want to say that again. Characters of Joseph will arise to provide as the waves of the worldly despair begin to hit the shores. The ministry of reconciliation will be the master's delight because exposure will cause many to return to his light. Iran will begin to smoke and take the attention of the world for a temporary time, then turn back to Israel. The continuous widespread of propaganda will infuse tempers, division, racism, anger, hatred, and many misconceptions will create false hope and a desire for a Savior to rescue. Those who can't wait no longer for answers of direction will begin to fall away. Technology will increase to spread another layer of the film of delusion. The piercing of darkness will continue to its draining of financial control. Like a bucket with a pinhole leak, not able to locate its predator. But at some time in the near future, the loss of financial control will result to physical control. The rise of revolution will increase. The blind will be led by the seer. The wise will become wiser, and the fool will scoff with his neighbor. But the wave will get stronger and stronger and will gather the multitudes of the righteous and expose the strongholds of the enemy and fulfill the Lord's word that the gates of hell shall not prevail. And that's the word for 2010. Praise God. Now would you turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And in this road to Zion, there's something very important. You know, not only are we to be positioned, but there's an area where if you're positioned and not fulfilling your function, it's nullified. Is everybody with me? Positional function. It's called positional function. In other words, where God is positioning, you must fulfill your function. In Ephesians 4 and verse 1. And it is important at this time as we're on the road to Zion to be positionally placed and being able to do the function that God has called us to do in the position. Is everybody okay? In Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your what? Calling with which you were called. This word called, we know it is the area which means invited. But I want you to begin to look at this as your function. As your function. So I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your function which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we must be found worthy to walk of your calling, which is your function. Go to Romans 12. You know where they all died in the wilderness? Nobody was fulfilling their function. I mean, they were being led, they were positioned, weren't they? They were supposed to be where they were, but they weren't fulfilling their function. Everybody was grumbling, complaining, whatever. They were not willing to fulfill what God called them to do. And they died. Even though they were positioned. In Romans 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the same members do not have the what? Same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberally, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So we differ in function, but we are to carry the same purpose. And this purpose in this area is called parameters. Everyone say parameters. God sets parameters in our life so that we can be positioned and fulfill the function that He's given us. We differ in function. Not everybody's a hand, not everybody's a foot. So we differ in function, but we carry the same purpose, and that is called parameters. I'm going to go to Ephesians 4 again in verse 11. I know there was a lot to the 2010 prophecy, but my encouragement is to get the CD so you can take time and hear it. In verse 11, and he himself gave some to be what? Apostles and prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the what? Unity of the what? Faith. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a what? Perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which is the anointing. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, make what? Grow up in all things into him who is head, Christ. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In other words, it takes training. And in this time of training, it is the time to refresh, reflect, and relearn, because there's so many things that we've learned that we need to basically put behind us now. Because some of the things that we've learned, well, listen, so you might have learned how to row a boat, right? And you get on the boat and you learn to row the boat. Well, now you need to relearn how to operate a ship. There's a difference. Has everybody got it? Now it's just like a pilot. There's a pilot that can operate a plane, and then he has to relearn to operate a helicopter, even though they both fly, but both have a different function. So God is placing us in a specific arena of function so that there's certain things that we're going to have to relearn. But see, if you're not willing to relearn, if you're not willing to let go, you'll be stagnant. And you will not fulfill, you may be positioned, but never fulfill the function that God has for you. So you can come and sit in church. Hello? You can come 60 times a day. That's a lot of times. You may be positioned in the seat, probably you'll wear it out by then. But never go out and fulfill your function. Everybody got it? The worst thing that you can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. You do not want to be successful in the wrong assignment because it's called flesh. Hello? So this is going to take training, isn't it? It is a time to refresh, reflect, and relearn from the worldly ways. We want to get to the ways and the perspective ways that God has for us now. So you might have had a talent or an ability or a function that God gifted you with, and you might be in position, but never using that function what God positioned you for. So you're actually in the position, but not using the function. Has everybody got it? Or you may be using that function, you may be using what God has gifted you with, to the area that you're using it for darkness instead of for light. because you're a servant of money and not light. Are you listening? I know many people that are claiming to be believers, but they go to the bar every Friday night and play music. Well, they're not fulfilling their function, are they? They may be plugged into a fellowship. Are you listening? They may be plugged into a fellowship. They may be doing the stuff that they're supposed to be doing according to their fellowship. But, and they may even be playing in the band on Sunday, worshiping God. But then on Friday night, for the money, they go play for the devil. And there are many believers who do that. Many. And that means that they're not fulfilling their function. Has everybody got it? Go to Acts 17. Positional function. It is to fulfill your call. Acts 17. And verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'The unknown God, therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell in all the face of the world and the earth. And has determined their what? Pre-appointed times and what? Boundaries of their dwellings. These are called parameters. So that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, we are also his what? Offsprings. Therefore, since we are the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." So we know that there are boundaries, or these are called parameters. There are three parameters to your function. The first one is in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is what? At hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a what? Gift. Is that a part of their function? Yes. Minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability. The what? Ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. And the first parameter is abilities. God never gives you more than you can handle. God has already granted you a gift of ability or talent to do something. Does everybody got it? He's already gifted you with it. And there's this ability that God has gifted you with. Whatever it may be. You can be a doctor. You can be a lawyer. You can be whatever. You can be a hairstylist. You can be whatever. These are a gift that God... In other words, he's given you an ability. One of the things that begin to happen is people try to fulfill another function when God's not called them to it. If you try to fulfill another function God's not called you to, it's always disastrous. Are you listening? There's always a struggle. There's always a, it's always, you can only get so far and it always gets busted up. It just seems like, man, no matter what you do, it just doesn't work. And it'll seem to look good, but then it's not. See, because when you're doing what God has called you to do, all of heaven is behind you. And the gates of hell cannot prevail. But when you're out of that function, it is difficult. I mean, beyond difficult. I'm not talking about trials and tribulations that God is using to perfect you and complete you so that you don't lack anything. I'm talking about things that are just overwhelming sometimes, that are just plain stinking difficult, man. Hello? And you begin to wonder why you're doing what you're doing. Now see, but there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's where you must discern the difference between whether that's an attack of the enemy to try to move you out of your function or you're fulfilling your function. Has everybody got it? That's the first parameter, is abilities. The second parameter is in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Therefore be what? Imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolishness or foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. But for this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. The second parameter is character. Character. And whose character are we supposed to be expressing? Christ. Again, the first character is abilities, the things that God has gifted you with. The second parameter is the character of Christ, where it's expressed through you utilizing this ability. And the third is in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Positional function. You know, one of the things that the enemy tries to do, he tries to bring spiritual competition and jealousy. There's a lot of things that you want to be, but you're not supposed to be. Hello? Come on, we were all growing up. We wanted to be a professional football athlete. We wanted to be movie stars. We wanted to be whatever, yacht captains. We wanted to be airplane pilots. We wanted all of these things that we wanted to be. Man, it was just in our... Man, I'm telling you, oh, this is what I want to be when I grow up. I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. It's not what I want to be. I am because he is. So in this is what God wants you to be. And one of the things he wants is the I am in you. I am because he is. And that's the only reason why we are. So we don't want to be something that we're not supposed to be. But the enemy loves to come with spiritual competition and jealousy. And if we don't meet what we want to be, people get all frustrated. And they don't allow God to work in their life then. And that takes patience. And there are two attributes to patience. It's called endurance and waiting. And I'm not going to teach on that tonight. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all what? When you fall into what? Various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into them, praise God. Knowing that the testing of your what? Faith produces what? Patience. What's the two attributes of patience? Endurance and waiting. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work. That you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Wow. Lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. All of his what? All of his ways. So in this, we must understand that this is an area of attitude. This is an area of what? Attitude. All, God doesn't want us to lack anything, does he? But he said, count it all what? Joy. Do you ever get around anybody who's miserable? Well, you know, they can't perform their function too well, can they? You know why? Because they're too caught up in themselves. So these three parameters are important in fulfilling your function. The ability, the character, and the attitude. The attitude. I don't want to hang around miserable people. Do you ever get around someone that thinks they have an attitude that everybody owes them everything? Take advantage of people? Or have certain areas of false expectations of individuals? That's a bad attitude. Or somebody's at work or something to that degree, and they're supposed to be performing their function, and somebody asks them to do something, they have a bad attitude. You're not fulfilling your function. Because Christ isn't certainly being expressed through you. That's why the Bible says be a cheerful giver. There are people that give, oh man, I gotta give. You know, God don't want your money then. He don't want it if it's backed by an attitude. Because you're not sowing any seed. You're just giving. But it ain't giving out of the heart. Anything done in a bad attitude is no good. It doesn't account for you. So he says, count it all joy. Why? Because he wants a perfect, complete in every area so that we don't lack nothing in your call or in your function. To be positioned is priority in our life, isn't it? So you can express your function or calling. Again, the worst place to be is a successful in the wrong what? In the wrong assignment. In 2 Chronicles 15, positional function. Second Chronicles 15. In verse 10. Second Chronicles 15 and verse 10. It says, so they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all of their heart and with all of their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to what? Death. Whether small or great, whether man or woman. Can you imagine if they had that in the churches now? Everybody be worshiping like crazy, wouldn't they? Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all of their heart and sought him with all of their soul, and he was found by them. And the Lord gave them rest all around. Also he removed Micaiah, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah, and Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and buried it by the rock of Kindron. But the high places were what? Not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal in all of his days. In other words, he was positioned, but he never fulfilled his function, because one of his functions was to pull down the high places, which was the pagan rituals. But he found favor with God. Do you understand this? And because of the kings that were during that period of time, Asa was obedient to certain things, but never tore down the high places. So was he fulfilling his function? No. But was he positioned? Yes, he was a king that did not remove the high places. And we are to be called kings and priests, and it's our responsibility to move those high places, regardless of what. That's a part of our function, isn't it? In other words, it's an area that no matter what function you're involved in, you're still to be tearing down principalities and powers of darkness wherever you're fulfilling your function. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. These were pagan altars of witchcraft that are strongholds against cities and ministries and homes and territories. And it was their responsibility, this king, to make sure that they went to these places and tore down these altars, and he never did. Go to 1 Samuel 13. So wherever God has placed you for your function, there should be spiritual warfare going on, tearing down high places, or you're not fulfilling your function. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 8. 1 Samuel 13, verse 8. Let's read it. This is about King Saul. And it says, "Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, 'Bring a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me.' And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him." So Saul didn't wait, did he? He was not patient. He couldn't endure. He was anxious. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "Well, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together Menashmah, then I said, 'The Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering.'" He felt compelled already. He was afraid. He was shaking in his boots. Hello. So what does the devil do? His two areas of control is what? Deception and what? Fear. And he controls people by fear. So was he trying to move Saul out of position? Yes. Did he move him out of position? Yes. So he was trying, he moved him out of position where he did another, somebody else's function, didn't he? Is everybody okay? And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom forever, Israel, forever. But now your kingdom shall not be, or not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord has commanded you." Whoa. Why did this happen? Because Saul was king, who was positioned as a king, but he was trying to fulfill somebody else's function. And he lost the trust of God. And he said, that's it, you're done. I'm pulling Israel. I'm pulling you out of position. Let me share something with you, that there are people still in position who don't belong there. They're still in a place fulfilling a function, and God has rejected them in that area until they return and repent, because they're trying to fulfill somebody else's function. Has everybody got it? It's just like doing that burnt offering. Saul was a king. He wasn't called to be priest. There was a specific function for that priest at that time. And only Samuel was the one that could offer the sacrifice. And Saul went and did it. And it removed him. Why? Because he was not fulfilling his function. He was trying to fulfill someone else's. Is everybody okay? Now, don't go to work tomorrow and tell everybody, listen, I can't pick up that thing. That ain't my function. Hello. Come on, are you getting this? You know, just because somebody dropped something and said, well, that's for the whoever to pick up. That's not my function. Don't use that. Hello. God won't be pleased with that. Your function is expanded. Remember, abilities, character, and attitude. Those are the parameters. Don't tell me, that ain't my call. Sounds like pride just kicked in. We're to be all things. But the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So your function, listen, now don't get me wrong here. Can God change your function? Yeah. He can change your function. You know what happens, why people have struggles? Because they're not willing to change. I think that's one of the most difficult things for humanoids in the area, is the area of change. They get comfortable, complacent, and then, of course, they get lazy. And they get the reason why they get lazy is because now they think they got it all. Yeah, man, I don't know how to do this now. Yeah. Down. Got it. And when God says, no, I want you to come out of your comfort zone. I want you to go do this. Well, you can't tell God, well, that ain't my function, Lord. Remember, he took men when they were building the temple of Solomon. He took them and put his spirit of wisdom in there so they knew what to do. Some of these individuals never did those things before. But the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In other words, you've got to be sent. You've got to be established in this, that you know that God is with you. There are things that I didn't want to do, but I had to fulfill the function. And there's still things I don't want to do, but I'm told to do. Because it don't matter. I don't belong here. And so I'm going to do what I have to do until I can get out of here. Hello? That's why you don't want to be emotionally attached to anything here. You want to sever everything from here, so that you can become obedient to death. That's why Jesus required that you must deny yourself, because if you can't deny yourself, you won't fulfill the function he's got for you. He said, pick up your cross. Those are your parameters. And follow me. You cannot fulfill what God has called you to do unless you do those three things. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. And then there's this parameters that are established. Ability, character, and attitude. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Therefore I remind you to what? Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a what? Holy calling. Your function is holy. I don't care if you clean toilets, it's holy. If you are functioning according to the will of God, it's holy. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to what? Our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before what? Time began. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hallelujah. It is a holy function. Now, your purpose will always stay the same, even though you may advance in your function. Your purpose is always the same. It never changes. Your purpose is to be obedient to God. Amen. It's to expand the kingdom of God. It's to be a witness. All of these areas are associated with purpose because you're attached, connected to the one you're accountable to. So in your purpose will always be the same. But your function, as you advance in your function, in other words, as God has placed you and you're fulfilling your function, he's always advancing you. So your function may alter a little bit, or there may be things added to your function. Hello. And as God begins to add things into your function, because you've earned his trust that you can take on more. And he'll never give you any more than what you can handle. Do you understand that? If you're doing more than what you can handle, then you're not operating in your function. Hello. Now, I'm not talking about a busy day. And don't come home and say, "Well, man, I obviously wasn't operating in my function. I was too busy today." No, that's not what I'm talking about. Hello. I'm talking about trying to take on more jobs than what you've been called to take on. You know what people do? They take on more burdens than what they're supposed to carry. I'm not going to go any further than that. Let's go to Matthew 25. Verse 14. Are y'all getting this? In verse 14, let's read it. For the kingdom of heaven is like a what? A man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To each one according to his what? What is that? A parameter, isn't it? And immediately he went on a journey, and then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, "Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them." I would say that he had the three parameters that were established: ability, character, and what? Attitude. And his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." He who also had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, You delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. See, I want you to look at this as it's not the amount. It's the obedience. See, it's not how much and how many. It's about doing what you're supposed to do with what he's given you. If everybody would just begin to complete what God has given you in the ability with the parameters of Christ's character and attitude, we would all walk in more unity. We would advance in more places instead of the right hand trying to be another right hand. Instead of the left foot trying to be another left foot. Hello. If we will just obey in the area of being positioned and fulfill the function that God is asking us to require, asking us to do, and do it with all of your heart and labor unto the Lord. And don't look at anybody else. Don't look at what he or she or whatever. And do what God has called you to do. There would be more unity. Let's continue. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received, in verse 24, the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Now I want you to understand that God knew this individual. So he only gave him 1 talent to do. The one he knew that was able to do 5, he gave 5. The one he was able to do 2, he gave 2. But the one he knew that was able to do 1, he gave it to him also. So he wasn't placing the burdens upon him to do more than what was expected of him. He gave him 1 talent. In verse 25, and he said, I was a what? Afraid. There's that fear again. And went and hid your talent into the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. So he was all thinking, yeah, man, I didn't lose it. That's what you call an idiot. Spiritually ignorant. Well, I didn't lose it. I have won. Now look at what the Lord says. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own interest with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Obviously, God was a little upset with him. Now, the Bible says this, that in this arena, God will not hold anything good back from you unless you're not doing what he tells you to do. He will begin to hold things back. He'll hold things back till you begin to get positionally functioned so that you're back into your function again. Because sometimes we're not listening. We're so caught up in ourselves. So the only thing that's gaining our attention are the things on the outside of us or our surrounding areas. Then circumstances have to speak to us instead of his voice. Now, circumstances can speak to you. So if circumstances are speaking to you, I encourage you to wake up and get positionally functioned so that you can function in a position that God has given you all the way through so that you will hear, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. And as we go on the road to Zion, this is essential because we will advance further. It's the arena of unity. And in this arena of unity, if we all do our part, our function, we'll advance quicker, stronger, and enjoy. It will not be burdensome to you. We are in a critical time. Again, I can't emphasize enough. 2010 is going to be a really arena of a decision year. It's going to be a tremendous decision year for many people. And it's going to be an area of exposure to the area of if they're fulfilling their function, if they're out of position. It is a great time. It's an awesome time to be alive here, though, so that we can see the move of God. You know, when the wave is moving and things are happening, and you know, that's all you do is you catch the wave and you just cruise. But you know, sometimes you got to paddle to catch the wave. You got to put effort in it. So there's a time of paddling to catch the wave, and it takes you to a place, and then the wave settles, and then you have to paddle. And in that paddling, God is dealing with you. It's just like going from valley to mountaintop. You know, one of the things I always saw in the valley to mountaintop areas, there in electricity, there's alternating current and there's direct current, DC and AC. Now, if you've all had a radio and you've listened to it and you only had AM stations, that's associated with direct current in an area of waves. So that when you go under a bridge, you lose the radio station, don't you? You lose the contact. But then you have the other frequency, I should say, that's oscillating, that when you go under a bridge, it goes through. You don't lose the radio station, do you? Amen? It's the same thing as the mountaintop experiences in the valleys. But there's one thing that we must maintain. Joy. Joy all the way through. No matter whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, you must. Because see, you don't change on the mountaintop. You change in the valley. See, everybody thinks they change in the mountaintop. Woo! Yeah! Oh! No, you're not changing. You change in the valley. The mountaintop is a break. But you go from mountaintop to valley, mountaintop to valley, mountain. But you must maintain that same joy whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley. No matter what, there's that same joy. That's where you're going to count it all joy, no matter what's going on. So you want to stay positionally functioned in the area where you're fulfilling your function no matter what, whether you're on the mountaintop or you're in the valley. Because our purpose in this is to always please God all the way to the end. Because everyone wants to hear, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant. Well done." Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I apply the blood of Jesus on the seed. I ask that you allow it to grow and bear fruit for your glory. And Lord, wherever we have begun to try to operate in somebody else's function, we ask for your forgiveness. But let the training continue. And let the anointing keep flowing. And again, grant us that strength that we can say yes to you in every area. And whatever it is that we must be in the area of refreshing, relearning, teach us so we can fulfill the function that you've established us and the position where you've positioned us, that you can be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Be blessed.